such a good job.
Yes. God been good to you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Why he keeps us around, we don't know. We do know this. That God is good to us. He is our ever-present help in the time of trouble.
And I'm glad I know him as my Savior and my King. Are you glad you know him today?
Yes.
Chapter 1 and verse 25. Amen. Praise God. Thank him for his blessings on my life this week. And I tell you, he's been an awesome God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God, everybody say, but God, hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. We thank you for, God, this service. God, thank you for everyone that has came out today to worship you, God, in spirit, God, and in truth. And God, and we pray, Lord, that you would move in this place today. Your word needs not to be anointed. It's already anointed. But God, that you would anoint the lips of clay, Lord, to speak the things that you want us to speak today. We give you praise and glory and honor. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. A couple of announcements. Tuesday night is prayer meeting. Amen. At 7 o'clock. Amen. We had a good group show up. Amen. This past week. Prayer meeting. And we had a good season of prayer. Amen. And then Brother Marsh read some scripture and talked to us a little bit. Amen. And then Wednesday night, we had good church. And now this coming Wednesday, Brother Marsh will be teaching on prayer. And then I don't know, I have not heard from him yet. But Bishop Carter from Avon Park is supposed to be with us next Sunday. Amen. Bishop Carter is a walking Bible. Amen. A man of God. He's preached here before, and the people were just in awe that when he preached. So you'll enjoy him, but if he doesn't, it'll be me or Brother Marsh will be preaching. One of us will be preaching next Sunday. The following Wednesday night, there will be no service here at the church. That's November the 1st. There will be no service here at the church. We will be going to Brother Woods's for his, I believe it said 39th anniversary service. So we'll be there for that. Brother Humphrey will be preaching Wednesday night, Brother Bratcher from Madison, Georgia will be preaching Thursday night. And Pastor Ben Weeks from up by Gainesville will be preaching Friday night. You've not heard Brother Ben Weeks preach. You don't want to miss that. He is an awesome, awesome preacher. Matter of fact, all three of them are awesome preachers.
Amen.
Anointed of God. So now we got the announcements out of the way. And I just mentioned Sunday that, you know, if I wasn't here, Brother Marsh would be here to carry on prayer meeting. So, amen. After church, everybody asked me, where are you going? Where are you going? I said, I'm not going nowhere. I said, yes. They're meeting.
No, here.
There's no revival here.
Oh, those men are going to be here.
Yeah, they're going to be at Brother Woods's.
Okay.
So they'll be preaching there, and so
yay,
you can go and help Brother Woods and their church celebrate their 39th anniversary.
Amen.
But Brother Humphrey will be preaching here, amen, on the 5th, I believe. It'd be that Sunday, it'd be the 5th, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll be preaching here, and then they have to leave and get back home for, amen, to see his heart doctor. So let's be praying for them on their way here and others that are coming. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. How many knows that?
Amen.
And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many nobles are called. But verse 27 said, but God, everybody say, but God, hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's a powerful scripture. Can I tell you, saints, I want to talk to you about two short words today. But God.
But God.
Which consists of six letters. These are two of the most powerful words in the Bible. But God. Every one of you have been going through some things before and you've wondered, where are you at, God? And all of a sudden you would remember, but God said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. I'm thanking God for His Word today. You need to underline those two words in your Bible, but God. Somebody here can attest that the fact that as you travel through, amen, this treacherous journey, and how many knows it's getting worse and worse. And in this barren land, that there has been a but God in your life. There has mine in my personal life, amen, when I thought that I had everything, amen, under control. I thought that I was on top of the mountain. I thought that everything, amen, I could do it all by myself. But I found out one day, but God, I needed Him in my life. I needed Him more than I needed, amen, my necessity, food, natural food. I needed God, amen, more than I needed anything else. And there will come a time in your life that you're going to need but God. But God, your word said that you would go with me all the way, even until the end of the world. Can I tell you that?
Hallelujah.
Amen. There is a God that, amen, is still just as powerful today as he was when he spoke, amen, out of darkness and made, amen, it come to light.
Yes.
He's still just as powerful today as he was, amen, when he was filling them on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Ghost. That same God is here today. That same God wants to be a God in your life. He wants to be number one in your life. Can I tell you tonight, today, if he's not number one, he won't be at all. Come on, somebody. Amen. He'll be number one in your life, but he won't be God at all. But there'll come a day that you'll cry out to him and say, but God, I need you more than I've ever needed you in my life. I need you, God. I need a miracle, amen, in my body. I was praying for Sister Taylor. Thank God for the healing virtues of heaven that it still flows. Amen. Not just because I didn't have my hand on her. I didn't have my hand to where I could touch her. But just through the phone. Amen. God heard her prayer and my prayer. And he healed her right then and there. If he did that, what much more can he do? Amen. If you've ever had a bad headache, amen, you know what I'm talking about. I put my wife in the hospital. She's had to have 75 milligrams of Demerol. Amen. For them to knock the headache out. It was so bad. Amen. The doctor said, take her home. Amen. We took her home and got her in the bed. And that's the last thing I seen for about 3 days. Amen. She just hardly never even got up. Amen. But can I tell you, my children would tell their mama, mama, daddy and us, we cooked. Amen. I made some biscuits. Brother Evans, you could knock the window out. You could knock that front door out back there with the biscuits that I made. But I was surprised. But you know, it looked good. It looked all right, but you couldn't chew it. You couldn't break through it like a piece of cement. So I realized that I needed to go by some directions. So the next time I made some biscuits, I got out the cookbook, and I made it according to the cookbook, and it turned out pretty good. Can I tell you, you've got to go by the directions today. Amen. You've got to go by the directions. Amen. Somebody here may be going through something. Somebody may be fixing to go through something. But can I tell you, I came to realize, but God is greater. Amen. He is greater than anything in my life. Amen. He that is in the world. Amen. We need to understand that when there is a hardship, there can be a but God in your situation. Amen. Sister Randall's, there is a but God in your situation with your grandson. And I'm telling you today, amen, Andrew may not know him, amen, as his Savior, but you do. And you call out, but God, you said you would save my house. Amen. You said that you would save my children. And I'm telling you, we need to realize that God can do it. You may be poor, but God will feed you when you're hungry. You may be suffering hardship, but God will, amen. He is my rock and my fortress. I may be lied upon, but God, amen, knows. I may be torn asunder, but God will put the pieces back together again. Amen. Just stay with me. I'm going somewhere. I may be born a sinner today, but God has saved me anyhow. Amen. How many know that every one of us, amen, were born into sin and shaping in iniquity? Amen. I wasn't born to go to hell before I was born. I was born, amen, that I had a choice, that I could serve God, or I could live for God, or I could choose the way of the world. The world today is full of people that call themselves a child of God.
All right. Come on.
Amen.
All
The world is full of people. Amen. My own children will tell you that they pray and they love God. Amen. They'll tell you that they pray and they'll get on TikTok and pray. But let me tell you something. Amen. If you own TikTok, you ought to repent and get off of it. Hello. Went dead on it. Get off of it.
Amen.
It's of the devil. Jesus, I need you right now. The phrase, but God expresses and communicates a tremendous message to all of us that's here today. The world says no, but God says yes. The world says you can't, but God says you can. The world says won't, but God says will. The world says stop, but God says go. Amen. The world says don't, but God says do. The world says defeat, but God says the victory is yours. Amen. God climbs the highest mountains, crosses the deepest sea, goes through the darkest valleys, and sings songs of victory in the midnight hour. That's who we serve today. Hallelujah, somebody. I said, that's the God we serve. But God is courageous. God is convincing. He don't have to convince me of nothing tonight. He has convinced me once and for all that I know and whom I know and who I know. Amen. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is my rock and He's my fortress this morning. And when I need Him, but God will come when I call Him. You say, does He always come? He always shows up. He always gives me an answer. Maybe no. Maybe say, wait a little bit. But God always answers. Hello, somebody. Say, God always answers. God is convincing and confident and conclusive. I'm speaking to you this morning from the God perspective. Because somebody is headed in the wrong direction. Hear me, I felt this yesterday. Someone is heading in the wrong direction. But God stepped in. If death would have overtaken you, your soul would have been doomed to hell. And the demons and the imps of hell were waiting for you to mess up so that they could come and destroy your life. Wake up, America.
Right.
I said, wake up, America. America, amen, has took a big dose of sleeping pills. They have took sleeping pills and they're not understanding everything that's going on. Why? Because in their minds they are asleep. This thing's winding up and it's winding up soon. We say, oh, I got to go through this. Honey, tell me them babies over there that just got their heads cut off. Tell me them mothers that was raped and pulled out into the streets. You tell me all of that. My God, have mercy. We are facing some things. And it very well could be here even next week. It could be here tomorrow. Amen. It could be anything come upon us. But can I tell you, we have above God. If it comes, but God will take us home, or God will protect us in the middle of it all. Somebody don't get politics and religion together. I know it don't work, but it's time America wakes up and realizes where you're at. Amen. If you don't want to wake up on your own, bless God, I'm wake you up. I'm going to wake you up this morning. I want you to understand that you can make it if you want to. Amen. So one preacher said, fake it till you make it. I said, I don't know how to fake it. Amen. I wouldn't know how to fake this thing. I'm not faking nothing. What I am today, you see, I was 50 years ago. I'm not changing. I'm not changing for the world. Oh, you have a big church today. But that's a big word. Amen. But, amen, I'd rather worship God with 25 or 30 than to go to hell with 1,000. Amen. I'm not going to heaven for my wife, for my children, for my families, amen, for the church. I'm not going to hell for you.
No, sir.
I'm going to preach to you. Amen. You either take it or leave it. Amen. That's up to you. But I'm going to live for God. I said, I'm going to live for God. But God has made a difference. Amen. Where I spend eternity. I was on my way to hell.
Yes, sir.
I was Indian Joe in the caboose. Amen. They call me Indian Joe. Amen. I was on my way to hell. But I said, God, if you'll get me out of here, if you'll get me out of here, I promise you, I will serve you the rest of my life. And when I got out of there, it wasn't an apostolic church that I found, but I found a church, a holiness church. Amen. It stood for more holiness than most apostolics do today. It was a holiness church. But thank God that that pastor, amen, that I've been with him, we cast devils out of people. We get phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, need you to come cast the devil out. He'd be banging on my window tonight. Get up and wash my face. He said, come on, we got to go cast the devil out of somebody. You don't hear that no more. Devils have got smarter, you know that? They have. They got smart. They know if they'll keep their cool, they can jump on you after you get out of here. Amen. But God stopped the hell-bound train and let you get off, children.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Knowles, you had no clue that your children, amen, would be playing the drums in the house of God today. You had no clue. And you had no clue that they say, I'm going to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You had no clue. But God,
come on.
But God stood by you and mama when you prayed and called their names out to God. But God heard your prayer. And but God made, amen, conviction to get upon their hearts. And they came to the house of God. In a world full of distractions, I mean, those distractions are out there. There's temptations on every corner. One preacher told me, he said, I was sitting at the red light in front of me. There was a half-naked person. I turned to my right. There was a half-naked one over there. I turned back to the left. And there was one over there. He said, I figured, well, if I just looked behind me. And he said, if there wasn't one back there, too. He said, so what did I do? What did I do? He said, I just closed my eyes and hoped on the light to change so I could get out of there. So the devil wants to tempt you.
Amen.
The devil wants you to look at the things of this world. And then don't say, I'm too strong for that. There's been a lot of preachers that said it that are in hell today. Come on, somebody. Temptations. It's hard trying to live a life of purity. Every time you do good, guess what? Evil is present.
That's right.
But those who value God will find Him. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Those who value God's, godly living will allow God to reign supreme in their lives. Those who value the name of Jesus Christ will become, amen, sacred and holy. Those who value God's love will find steadfast love in Jesus Christ. Those who value commitments, this is where we're lacking in our churches. Those who value commitment and dedication will live for God with all of their hearts. In our text today, the Apostle Paul is writing, amen, to the Corinthian church. And he admonishes them and gives instructions to solve many of their problems that they were having, amen, in the congregation and in their personal lives. When Paul organized the church at Corinth, he laid the foundation on which the church was built. How many knows who that foundation is? Amen. The foundation was built on Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus told Peter that upon this rock I'll build my church. That foundation will never change. Are you hearing me? That foundation will never change. The world's trying to change it. They're trying to take the blood out of the Bible. They're trying to take repentance out of the Bible. They would do away with the Bible completely. Because it's hard to even go in a bookstore hard anymore and find a King James Version Bible. You got to go through the NIV and all of these different Bibles to get to the King James Bible. Finally, you might find one sitting over there by itself. Well, that's where it needs to be.
Right.
Are you hearing me? I said, that's where it needs to be. Because all these other books, that's all they are is books. They're not Bibles. And if you can't understand the King James Bible, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you can. But God. I said, but God. When I come to God, as far as knowing anything about the Bible, I was dumb as a box of rocks. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about what Bible I should get. But it wasn't long that when I got the Holy Ghost, the Lord began to direct me. Amen. Use the one Bible. Amen. I don't think they had much of them back there when I first started. Amen. But thank God I had the little white Bible. I'd get up and preach out of that little white Bible. Somebody decided we're gonna get you a black cover Bible, and they got me one. And I said, well, make sure it's King James, and I'll take it. But Peter would say, I am sinful and lost and condemned. Facts say we are justified by faith. Peter say, I can't face my responsibilities. Fact says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Peter say, I'm lonely and afraid. Fact say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The church at Corinth, among many other things, was a church of conflict, division, and dissensions. Paul learned that there was a controversy over spiritual leaders that was causing division among the members of the church. Paul is urging them to live in harmony with each other. How many knows that? We need to live in harmony with one another. Hello. Come on. We need harmony in the church. The harmony Paul described is like the work of a physician who knits a broken body together, setting shattered bones and putting dislocated limbs back in their sockets. Paul was concerned about the Christians in Corinth, so he writes a letter to the church concerning this problem. He told them that as long as they were split into various groups and quarreling with one another over human personalities, they would stunt the growth of the church. Think about it today. Could I be the one that's causing the church to be, amen, with nobody coming? And I come to tell you today, I know every one of you in this place, and I know you very well, for I've known you for many years. And I know that there ain't one of you that would cause anybody, amen, not to be in church. Amen. So don't go away and say, Brother Watson was throwing that at me, because I'm not. The people were grumbling and complaining their way through life, much like people are today. How you doing? Oh, don't even ask. I get tired of people asking, how you doing? How you feel? Y'all going to do it regardless, son. I just give up on that side of it. Y'all ask me, all, well, how you doing? How's your blood pressure?
Yeah.
Well, how's yours? How you doing? Then they won't tell me all the problems. Sorry I asked. Sorry I asked. But today, amen, the children, they were complaining, amen, so much like people today, and certainly like the children of Israel, they wanted to, amen, they didn't want to enter the promised land. What they wanted to do was get back to Egypt. Paul insisted that the Corinthian church recalculate their route. Are you hearing me? Paul wanted them. I'll get in here in a minute. I knew I'd missed a page. Amen. It's very important. But it was a spacious land, flowing with milk and honey. Yet it mattered not to them. They were so busy checking their GPS devices for directions back to Egypt. Now, I've come a little bit acquainted, not as acquainted as some, but my GPS, I turn it on and I tell my GPS, I put in where I want to go, and it'll tell me, turn right at the next stoplight. It'll tell me, red light camera ahead. I'm riding down the road with my wife, and I don't think I hollered at her, yelled at her, but I'm riding down the road with my wife, and I guess I was a little loud, and my phone came on and said, "You wouldn't talk to your mother that way, would you?" I'm telling you, our devices, amen, they're scary.
Amen.
They're scary.
Yes, they are.
They're listening in.
Right.
On our conversations. You may think they're not, but I said this a long time ago, and I said, you can go to a motel room and get you a motel room, and I said, They got devices they can put in the TVs where they can hear what you're saying. Man, my wife stopped and got a room, and I just threw my jacket over top of the TV. And a few minutes, the phone rang, and the lady at the desk said, "Is your TV working all right?" I said, "I don't know. I hadn't turned it on." I don't know if it's working all right or not. I didn't totally know either. But we have GPS on our cell phones.
Everywhere.
Tells me how close I am to getting home. Like I don't move. Tells me all kinds of things. Tells me that you make the wrong turn. And it even tells me where to turn to get back on track.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that's what the Word of God is today? It's like a GPS system that when you get off course, that the Word of God will calculate and get you back on course where you need to be. Are you hearing me today? Amen. It will get you back on track. I said it will get you back on track and get you going in the right direction. Discovered when we recalculate our route, we can not only get back on track, but we can convince somebody else that needs Christ in their lives to get on track. We can persuade someone to come to Christ, convert the lost to be saved, win souls to Christ, cause somebody to accept the plan of salvation. This is what God wants us to do. You can't do it if you're off track. One brother, he wasn't a brother, really. But he talked a man into going to church with him. And when the man got there, he saw him put out a cigarette before he went into church. He turned around and went back home. He said, "You told me to... You went to a godly church, and a church, and you were saved." And he said, "When I see you put out that cigarette, amen, I turned around and went back home."
Yay.
Amen.
Yay.
Sometimes you get off track. And believe me or not, when you get off track, somebody is going to see you.
Amen. Right?
Brother Donald McCool and his wife backslid, got out of church, and how many know that they ever heard them sing? They could sing. What you talking about? That whole McCool family is good singers. And so they were with another couple that backslid and said, let's stop in here at this bar. Let's stop in this bar right here and we need some money, so we'll get them to let us sing. Amen. And we'll get the money." They were backslid out of church. When they got in there and they started singing, all of that worldly music, wouldn't you know, somebody knew them and come up to them and said, "Have you fallen so low that you fell away from God and you're singing in the alcohol joints and you're singing in these places? Somebody's going to see you. When they see me, I want them to see me like I am right now. I don't want them to see me any different." Amen. I'm convinced today that we need Christ in our lives more now than ever. I'm persuaded that somebody needs to come to Christ this morning. I'm persuaded that, amen, that we can convert the lost to be saved. Win souls, that's what the scripture says. He that win a soul is wise. Amen. You say, "I can't do it," but God in you can help you. Confirm the fact that we've been born again. Condemned sin and Satan in our lives. Paul insisted that the Corinthian church do the same thing and recalculate their lives. If they continued to be divided, they would tear asunder the body of Jesus Christ. So Paul had to admonish them to center their hearts and minds on Jesus Christ. If they would do so, they would all become workers together with God. But God is the incredible riches of the Lord's grace. It's the incomparable supply of the Lord's blessings. The goodness of the Lord to His people. The mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord's plans for our salvation. It is the promise of the Lord's grace to us. How many knows today that you are here by the grace of God? Love, look at me at verse 25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. If I've discovered that the Word of God exposes the realms of foolishness, amen, and when we learn the problem of foolishness, amen, and the, amen, what the fools will do, you'll become wiser, church. How would we say we are foolish? But God says, I can use you. Aren't you glad that God can use you? I've never known what it is to be, amen, highly educated. Everything that I get, it comes from God. I'm a nobody tonight, but I serve a God. I serve a God that is able, amen, to take these old southern boys' lips, amen, in my mind and use them for Him. I want to be used for Christ. The Bible said they were ignorant. And I'm one man, but this one thing I do know, they have been with Jesus. I'd rather be a fisherman, amen, and have the keys to the kingdom than I had the things of this world. Hallelujah. But God calls simple people like you and I. He uses the word foolish as opposed to the wise. The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The powerless as opposed to the powerful. The nothingness as opposed to the wealthy. We often think that God cannot use us because, amen, of the conditions where we're in. But God can. If you have no talent, God can use you. If you have no gifts, God can use you. I'd like to be able to play the guitar like Brother Who. I'd like to be able to play the piano like, amen, Sister Linda. I'd like to be able to play the organ. I'd just like to be able to play anything. I can't even play a tambourine and keep it in tune. Just to be able to play something. So God knew I couldn't do all of them, so He called me to preach.
Amen.
There's been times in my life I wish that He came to the guitar. Been times in my life I wish He let me play the piano. But because of where we are and what we're doing, we're all doing what we can for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You have no ability, but God can use you.
Right.
You have no education, but God can use you. If you have no experience, God can use you. If you have no strength, God can still use you. If you have no know-how, God can use you. If you have no money, God can still use you. You don't have to be rich for God to use you. You don't have to be wealthy. I've never been wealthy, and I don't see that I'm going to ever be. At this late in the game, I don't see that that's going to happen. But God can take what a little I got and use it.
Amen.
We all have something God can use. Do you hear me? We are all blessed with something that God can use.
Right.
Our struggle is to find out what it is that God has given us.
Yeah, yeah.
We have brilliant, we have influential people in the churches, but a few of us feel that God can use our lives. If only through the wisdom of God that mankind comes to God and learns of God's plan of salvation through Christ Jesus. Verse 26 says, "For ye see your calling, brethren." How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, not that are called. And Paul said this. Paul tells us something about the membership of the church in Corinth. Not many of the members were considered by the world standard to be wise, powerful, and of noble birth. This would indicate that only a small number of congregation had certain privileges. The rest were called common by the world. This was not a put down of the Corinthian church. But Paul says this, Paul says you are called for something. But God majors in average people. Are you hearing me? God changes us to be better. I am not the man that I once was. God establishes our foolishness. But God, amen, supplies all of our needs. But God, in all the power we need, God takes care of us. But God fills us with His Spirit. Thank God He did that. God makes a way out of no way. But God helps us in all our situations. And then verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Paul reminds us that God does not observe conventional wisdom. Are you hearing me? Now we must note from these scriptures that God, through His wisdom, can use a human body like me and like you. Some of you, God wants to use you more than what He has. But you're not willing to step up to the pump and let God use you. Somebody said, "But preacher, you know my wife." God don't remember it. Are you hearing me? God don't remember how things were.
Right.
God forgets it. God casts us into the sea of amen and forgetfulness. He casts it as far as the east is to the west, not to remember it against you anymore. Amen. That's who we serve today. But Satan comes every day to remind you. He wants to remind you, "Hey, you remember what you did last week. You remember going down the road and the GPS system said you wouldn't holler at your mama like that." You, all kinds of things Satan will come to you and bring to you.
Right.
But listen to this preacher today. Get your minds stayed on Jesus. He's coming. He's coming soon. And the Bible said in Luke 21 and 36, I believe it said, amen. Get it for me, brother. Luke 21 and 36 talks about that you be worthy to escape these things to come to pass and stand before Him. Luke 21 and 36. Brother Evans, you said it earlier before church. I don't know why God's got me here. I don't know why He hasn't come and got me yet. I don't know. But I do know this. Amen. I'm going to work with everything I got. Amen. I'm going to preach when I don't feel like preaching. I'm going to shout when I don't feel like shouting. I'm going to worship God when I don't feel like doing anything.
Watch ye therefore.
Watch ye therefore.
And pray always.
And pray always.
That ye may be accounted.
That ye may be accounted worthy.
To escape all these things.
To escape all of these things.
That
shall come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you will be able. Amen. That you'll be worthy. To stand before Him. Listen, if you can't walk with the footman, well, it's pretty easy right now. If you can't walk with the footman, how are you going to run with the horseman?
That's right.
Or at the swelling of Jordan? Because, honey, there's things coming up on our land.
That's right.
That like we've never seen.
Amen.
And there's things we're fixing to face like we've never seen. If you're struggling now to live for God, you won't make it through those times.
Right.
Somebody said, when's He coming? Is He coming? Is He coming free? Is He coming in the middle? Is He coming at the end?
Yes.
I don't care when He comes. I just want to be ready when it comes. I want something. I just want to be ready. But I believe this. If you've got enough to go up, you'll have enough to go through.
Amen.
God, I've chosen you, church. God, I've chosen you to work for Him. But God has chosen you to serve Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes.
Let me just close with this here. God, He is the first and He is the last. He's the beginning and He's the end. But God is our keeper. But God is the great I am. But God created the universe. But God, the divine counsel. But God, before time was, He was. After time, He will be. He always will be. Amen, God. But God, He's able to deliver. But God, He's able to build you up. But God, He's able to make grace abound in your life. But God, He's able to do abundantly, exceedingly above all that you ask anything. But God is able to keep you from stumbling. Are you hearing me? God's able to keep you from stumbling. But God, He's able to see you through. Some might say, but God. He's able to catch you before you fall. But God, He's able to give you physical and spiritual power. Many of us are lacking in the spiritual understanding. We lack humility. We lack faith. We lack commitment. And we lack power. Incline your ear to hear, but God. Satan says defeat, but God says victory. Can you stand with me today? Satan says defeat. A.A. Allen was preaching in under a big tent. These three ladies carried a girl with them to that tent meeting, and on the way there, the devil spoke through that 20-something-year-old Spanish girl, not in Spanish, but in English. And the devil said, "My, y'all are mighty brave riding this far with me." They tried to cast it out of her It jumped on one of them and almost choked her to death. They got her to the tent. They took her to A. Allen. I know what people say. And maybe it's true at the end of his race. But at one time, A. Allen, God used him. A. Allen casted the devil out of her. And A. Allen said, "You were defeated at Calvary." And the devil spoke through her and said, "I must not have been. I'm still here." That's what you're facing out there. Not, you're not just facing the devil, but you're facing all of his imps. And I believe he's even got more since he got down here. I do. But the world's full of them. And they're trying to destroy your life. Trying to destroy your walk with God. Amen. Telling you, young person, you can't make it. I'm telling you, you can make it. I'm telling you today, you can be an overcomer by your testimony. And your testimony will cause somebody else to give their lives and their hearts to God. I'm telling you, you can. So when the devil tells you you can't, just tell the devil, "I can." Jesus says, "I can." Amen. I made an overcomer by my testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Could I leave my testimony with you today? As I'm closing, my testimony is that as a young boy standing in the yard, stood on a stump and preached to my sisters and my brother, and a young boy, didn't even know the Holy Ghost, didn't even know what it was. I preached to them when I got 18 years old. Until I got 18, I had a rough life. And I did things that I'm not here going to even mention, even close to what they were. But can I tell you that at 18 years old, God called me to preach. At 18, I told the Lord, "Brother Evans," I said, "I'm not going to preach." He said, "You'll preach." I said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "You'll preach or else." And I said, "Okay." And else wasn't what I was going to argue with him about. But I wasn't nowhere near like Moses, but I kind of argued with God and I said, "Okay, I'm going to preach. But if somebody don't get the Holy Ghost the first night I preach, I'm done." I don't even know how anybody could have got the Holy Ghost the first night I preached. I studied worse than Mel Tillis. I preached on the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew about the 10 virgins. How that they're all decamped. When I gave an altar call, this woman came to the altar and threw her hands up and said, "I'm one of them." And she began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Less than 2 weeks later, I was preaching in Benton Harbor, Michigan at 18. Brother Evans, I preached so hard I almost had my clothes were soaking wet. I preached so hard. They said, "How long have you been preaching, boy?" Listen, this is my second message I've ever preached. Over my life, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, at 18 years old, just after He filled me with the Holy Ghost, He began to use me in the gifts of the Spirit. And as God used me in the gifts of the Spirit, I would call people out and read their mail. I even read my mom and daddy's mail. I told my mom and daddy where they were at when they told me they were somewhere else. And God said, "Tell them where they were at." And I did. At 18 years old, I started casting devils out of people. That devil's looking me in the face. And I told God, what do you want me to do? I was just a young boy just getting started. Then I preached in the Church of God for 4 years. One day, I met a little girl there. Went with her 2 months. Asked her to marry me. And I wasn't about to go with nobody that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And I don't know what night it was, but one night God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I wasn't even looking for her, but everybody was trying to hook her up with me, and I didn't even know it. But I wasn't looking for no girl because God was number one in my life. God put her in my life 2 months later. And then we got married. Now we're going on 54 years. Amen. Still together. Still together. Have we had any problems? Knocked down and dragged out sometimes. But we stood with one another. Thank God for a godly wife. You men that have got wives and living for God, you ought to love them with everything, because they're what keeps us going. Are you hearing me? You hear me, men? They're what keeps us going. Not only did I always listen to my wife, but it's a lot of times if I don't listen to her, I'd save myself a lot of troubles. But my testimony is I've served God the most of my life. And if I had it to do over again, I'd have started a lot younger than what I did. Because He has been so good to me. Amen. God bless you today. If anybody wants to come and pray, these altars are open. But get a but God in your life today. Get a but God in your walk with God. That you'll know that He is your ever present help in the time of trouble. And guess what? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Amen. Appreciate everyone here today. Come back Tuesday night for prayer meeting. You just want to come and pray, because it's not this Tuesday night's not a time for us to be having a get together or anything else. It's to pray. After the prayer meeting, though, when you want to talk, that's fine. If you want to come and pray and then leave, amen, just come and pray. This is what it's going to take to get our children back to God. I've got a slew of mine that needs God today. My son, pray for my son that God will save him. My daughter, my grandsons, their families, others. Remember, family that lives right around us. They won't live for God, but when they need something, they call me to pray. I pray for their dogs. Hello? And I pray for mine. My sister-in-law, Kathy, just lost her baby after 12 years of having that little dog she had, and put it down this week because of cancer. Cancer getting dogs, just it'll get in you. But there's a cancer that I pray that never gets in you. And that cancer of bitterness and strife and envy. That spirit that cancer don't get in you, because it'll eat at your soul the most important thing in your life. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Randall's has a grandson, and he's been talking to Grandma about the Lord. But right now he's leaning on praying. My bad girl right now. And she needs us to.